battery may be going out. So this morning, I want to speak to you guys. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be speaking on the subject, living a life on purpose. You know, it's very interesting to me. I look out at this crowd and I see a very diverse crowd. And, you know, there's a lot of things that every person in this room is a little bit different. But the one thing that kind of unites us all is the life that Christ has given us and the life that He's given us to live with a purpose. That's the one thing that we all should share in common. We don't always. And, you know, I don't think that we wake up in the morning intentionally trying to live a life that's not on purpose. I think sometimes it happens. It happens over time. It happens as we just kind of get caught up in the busyness of life and trying to provide for our family and our friends and things like that. But at the end of the day, what happens over time is sometimes we do that. We just begin to live a life that's not really a life that's on purpose or not for Christ's purpose. And so I think that's why these kind of messages are very important for us to hear, and these kind of reminders from Scripture, so that we can live this life on purpose. And so Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, is where we're going to be this morning. "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the reading of Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. And Father, I pray that You would take this passage, that You would speak to us through this passage this morning, Lord, that You would help us to see what it means to live a life on purpose, Lord, to live a life for You. Father, You have called us, You have made us, and You have redeemed us. And because of that, we want to return ourselves back to You, and we want to give You everything that we have. So, Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for being with us in this amazing time of worship we've had so far. Pray that Your Spirit would continue to be with us, Lord, and give us understanding of Your Word so that we can apply it and live according to Your Word. We ask and pray all these things in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, whenever we read this passage, I think this is a really important passage. It's a small passage, but it reveals several things to us. And this is one of my favorite passages. April, she says I say that about all of the passages that I preach on. But this one in particular, I think, is really powerful and really important for us to understand. And the first thing I want you guys to see here is that we are not perfect, but we can live a life on purpose. Amen?
Amen.
You know, here's the reality, and somebody said it earlier, you know, we're going to be talking about, you guys are going to be talking about in VBS this week, as we learn about a real superhero named Paul, you know, not just Superman, but a real superhero, you know, somebody that's worth looking up to. And this man was a man who gave his life fully to Christ. He ultimately gave his life for Christ. History tells us that he was probably beheaded by the Roman Empire because of his faith and because his following after God. And this man who he was one of the most prolific authors, the most prolific author in the New Testament, wrote multiple books, and certainly someone worthy of listening to. And as he says several times in Scripture, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That was his challenge that he gave to us. And yet, this man who was an amazing man of God, who did so many things for the church, and so many of us know Jesus because of his words, he acknowledges that he was not perfect. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say in Romans, I love this, Romans chapter 6, he says, "And what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" You know, this is a very interesting thing that he's talking about here. He's referencing and he's speaking to the people because this false doctrine had crept into the church that people said, well, of course, Christ's grace covers all of our sin. And so if Christ's grace can cover all of our sin, then it'll be fine for us to sin because Christ's grace will just cover it even more. You know, there was this thing, and Paul was very clearly addressing this in Romans chapter 6, and he was saying, so what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And I love this. He says, by no means. This is the most powerful way of saying no in all of Scripture. This is him virtually yelling at us. By no means should we allow this. And here's the interesting thing is, we sometimes do this. You know, we use these words. You say, well, I'm not perfect, right? I mean, how many of you guys have said that before? I've said it before. And oftentimes when we say it, we use it as an excuse for us to go on sinning. You know, someone who's struggling with alcohol, you say, well, I'm not perfect, and so it's going to be something that I'm going to struggle with, instead of fighting against it, instead of, you know, we use it as an allowance for our sin. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, that cannot happen. He is not perfect. The reality is, I'm not perfect is a fact, but it's not an excuse. Amen?
That's right.
And so that's the first thing we can see here. We are not perfect, but we can live a life on purpose. And the other thing I love here in verse 12, it says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. You know, it's not just a sense of dutiful obedience. Paul isn't just doing this just because, well, I guess, you know, I guess I have to, if I'm going to be a good Christian, or if I'm going to be a good person, I guess I just have to do this. No, this is Paul saying, because God has made me His own, I make this my own. I want to be, because God has made me righteous, I want to do these things. I want to follow after Him. And don't get me wrong, I know that all of us in here, we have some days where we struggle and we just do things out of dutiful obedience. But that is not where God is calling us to live and how God is calling us to live. He wants us to do things out of joyful obedience, just dutiful obedience. And so that's the first thing I want you guys to see here. The second thing I want you guys to see here, we must leave our past in the past. If we're going to live a life on purpose, we must leave our past in the past. Look with me here at verse 13. It says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know what this passage is talking about here? We need to forget the past. We need to forget what lies behind. And we need to strain forward for what reaches for and reach forward for what's ahead. And here's the thing. All of us in here would probably agree with this statement. You know, we need to leave our sinful past in the past and strive forward for what God has to say and what God, how God wants us to live. But that's not all that He's saying here. We don't need to miss this, you guys. What He's saying is we need to leave all of our past in the past, and we need to strain forward for what lies ahead. You know, there's another place in Scripture where He talks about this. He talks about the sin that so easily encumbers us, but He also talks about the weight that holds us down. It's not enough just to avoid and to stay away from sin, but we have to keep away from anything, even if it may not be a sin. Anything that can weigh us down or keep us from pursuing after God and following after God. You know, one example I can think of, and maybe some of you younger folks in here may know what I'm talking about, video games, right? Xbox, PlayStation, stuff like that, you know? That's a fun thing. It's something I love to do. It's something I love to do with my boys, and it's a lot of fun and that sort of thing. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with playing a video game. But there is a point where a video game can keep you. It's this weight that can keep you away from following after God. You can spend more time and more energy and more money and more of your life investing in that than you can in anything. Anything can be said about that. Anything in our lives. And the reality is, we've got to stay away from not just leaving our sinful past, but leaving all of our past. You know, I hear sometimes people say this, and maybe you've said this before, but man, I just wish we had the good old days. You guys heard that before? I'm sure you've said it before, you know. And don't get me wrong. You know, I look at what's happening in our country, and I see the direction our country is heading, and I see all the things that are happening, and I don't blame us for saying, man, I really wish for the good old days, you know. But there's a couple things that we have to keep in mind when we make this statement, when I say, I really wish for the good old days. First of all, the first thing is, do you think that sin was any less rampant in Paul's day than it is in our day? It really is not. I mean, we like to think that things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse, but the reality is people were just as evil and just as wrong. I mean, you know, that things were just as bad in Paul's day as they are in those days. And the second thing I would like to say when you refer to going back to the good old days, I don't know about you guys, but I grew up in a home where up until I was about 15 years old, we didn't even have an air conditioning in our house, you know. Some of you guys are old enough to remember a day when there wasn't indoor plumbing in the house, right? So do we really want to go back to the good old days? Do we really want to go back to going outside, you know, to take care of your business? Or want to go back to those days without air conditioning? I don't know about you guys, but I like that vault air, you know. And I hate when my boys leave the door open. But here's the thing, you guys.
is for us, it's not just about that. It's about leaving all of that stuff behind and striving for what lies ahead. When we spend our time moving forward but looking back, guess what's going to happen? This is one of my pet peeves. My boys, they do this all the time. They'll be talking and one's walking and he's sitting here talking to his brother and walking along. And what happens? He's going to stumble. And it happens all the time. And I hate it because it's so dangerous. I could have stumbled right over that thing just from walking forward and looking backwards. That is not how God intended us to live. He wants us to strain for what lies ahead. He wants us to reach forward. And we cannot do that when we're pining for the past. We've got to leave all of the past in the past. We've got to leave our past accomplishments in the past. You know, when I was growing up, I had my 9th birthday in England. My dad is a retired Air Force, and so we traveled all over the world. And I remember having my 9th birthday about a week and a half after we moved to England. And don't get me wrong, I loved England. It was an amazing place. And one of the things we got to do that was really exciting is we got to go. We drove all over that entire place. We drove and saw, we must have seen 150 castles and churches and cathedrals and abbeys and all the, and it was very, very interesting, really fun, really neat stuff. It's a great opportunity. If you ever have an opportunity to go and see as much as you can. But one of the things I remember when we would travel on these trips is we would see these churches, these beautiful cathedrals. You know, they were just these ornate, they were monolithic, they were just huge. It just kind of defied the mind how people hundreds of years ago could build these huge cathedrals. You know, kind of makes sense how people can build huge buildings nowadays, but back in those days. And what was so interesting about this was every time we would go, especially if we were on the weekend, we would go on Sundays, we'd be traveling, we'd go, and we'd actually go and attend some of these services sometimes. And these churches were just as dead as they could possibly be. They were beautiful, beautiful cathedrals, but they were empty of people, and there was nobody there, and it was just sad. It was sad to see. And Jesus had something about this to say, too. He referred to it as whitewashed tombs, you know, is really what they were. There were these beautiful buildings, and literally they had these, and what they did was they were trying to stand and look at their past accomplishments and look at what God had done in their past. Instead of striving for what God had ahead, they were too busy looking at what God had done in the past instead of thinking and knowing that God has more in store for us. The reality is that God has called us, and one of the promises He has given us is to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, but He's also said, I want you to have life and have it abundantly.
That's right.
And so often we miss that because we're too busy looking at the past and we're missing what God has for us in the future. So if we're going to live a life on purpose, then we have to leave our past in the past. And the third thing I want you guys to see here is if we're going to live a life on purpose, we must reach ahead. Look with me here in verses 14, 15, and 16. It says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let only let us hold true to what we have attained. You know what this passage is saying to me? This passage is saying to me and is saying to us this morning that God is not through with us yet. God still has something amazing to do in the life. He has something amazing to do in the life of every single individual person in here. Each and every person in this church. You know, I met a young lady. She's, I think, in her 80s. You know, Miss Ruby, just a beautiful lady who still has, but the fact that she grew, that she woke up this morning and she's on the right side, the green side of the grass, means that God still has a purpose for her. He has a purpose for you and you and for you and for me. He has a purpose for all of us. God is not through with us yet, but our responsibility, the fact that God gave us another day to live in this life, means that we have a responsibility to go out and strive for what lies ahead.
That's right.
And to reach for what lies ahead. That is what God has in store for us. He says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. It's this idea, if you've ever seen these races, the Olympic races, speaking of the Olympics, you know, and I love to watch these. I watched one yesterday with a man, this was all the way back in the 70s, Wattner was his name, and just this guy who was so far behind in the Olympic races, so far behind that nobody would have ever thought in a million years that he would ever win, and he was nursing tendonitis in his knee, and they just knew he was going to be a last place finisher. And he ended up I mean, just running, pushing, 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 all the way to the end. It's funny, I'm watching something like, you know, 40 years old, and I'm just like screaming at the screen, like, go, go, go. But you see him at the very end, he's pushing so hard. And right at the very end of that race, you can just see his body, everything about him is just reaching for the finish line. It's just reaching for the finish line. And that is the picture that Paul is painting here as he's talking about this race of life that we have to live. He says, I press on towards the goal. And here's the thing. Most of us, we think about this goal as heaven. You know, we're doing everything we can to focus on heaven to gain in heaven. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's talking about here. So that we can strive here. There's still more work to do here. We've still got things to do here. There's still more people that don't know Jesus. There's still more people in this room probably that don't know Christ, that need to know Christ.
Sure.
The reality is, in our community, we know that there are many people in this community and many people around the world that woke up this morning and, as Pastor David said earlier, won't give a single thought to Christ. May not know Christ, may have never been raised up in a place like maybe many of us were raised in church to know who Jesus is, but there are so many who don't have that. And we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility to reach for those folks. You know, God, for me, when I was 6 years old, Christ came into my life and saved me. And it's really easy for me to kind of look at that and say, well, I was saved when I was six. You know, it's funny, I look at my little boy and he's a six-year-old, you know. And here's one thing I know for sure. He is a little sinner. Amen? I've not had to spend any time teaching him how to do wrong. He has known how to be bad since he was born. You know, he was born with this. We are all born with this sin nature within us. You know, what I've had to spend time doing is teaching him how to be right. And how to act right, and how to live right, and I follow after Christ, and I invite Him to imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is the responsibility that we have, to teach our children, to raise up our children, to reach for people, because I know what God has done for me. Even though I came to know Christ as a six-year-old boy, I know that God saved me. I know that I was a bad little boy in need of salvation and in need of a Savior. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have a responsibility to reach ahead. And this is the final thing I want to close you guys, or I want you guys to think about as we close. If I were to ask you to take just a moment, take a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and you can do this if you like or not, that's okay, or you can just do it in your mind. But think for just a moment. We're about 6 months into this year, right? Take for just a moment and think about three things in your life this year, in the last 6 months, from January to today, that have been life-changing events. They can be little things or big things. Maybe your daughter had a baby. That's a pretty life-changing event for you and for the whole family, right? Maybe it was a good thing. Maybe it was a bad thing. Maybe it was something like the loss of a family member, something that devastated your whole family. April and I have endured that just recently. But think about these things that have been life-changing events in your life over the past 6 months, large or small, good or bad. Now let me ask you this question. How many of those things were things that you planned for? Here's the interesting thing about life-changing events. Most life-changing events that happen, you don't really get to plan for. They just happen. God, things like that happen, and God allows things, life-changing events to happen in our lives all the time. But the reality is, think of it this way. Let's fast forward for another 6 months. What if you knew somehow, in some way, that by the end of this year, by December, that you would not be alive anymore? Think about the things that you would do differently than what you're doing right now. Think about the amazing things that you would do if you knew. You know, I hear this story all the time of people that come down with cancer or some other illness or something that's terminal, and they're confronted with their own mortality. And it's almost every time I talk to these different folks, one of the things they tell me is that, man, I want to get busy living my life. Why do we have to be confronted with our own mortality, our own death, in order to start living a life that's worthy of the gospel, start living a life that's full and in abundance? The reality is, it's because we forget. It's because we forget that God has called us to live a life on purpose. And so the last passage I want to share with you guys is this. It's from Ephesians chapter 2. This is Paul again speaking, and I love this. In verse 11, I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh." You guys know what that means? That means at one time you were not believers in Christ. At one time you were not followers of Christ. You were living according to the flesh. You were living according to this world. And then he goes on in verse 12. He says, and here's the word again. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers," I love this, "to the covenants of promise." Strangers. Strangers to the covenants of promise. "Having no hope and without God in the world." So that's the bad news. But now look at the good news. Verse 13 says, But now, in Christ Jesus." Probably no more three beautiful words in Scripture. "In Christ Jesus. You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Here's the reality, you guys. The reason that we struggle sometimes to live a life on purpose is because we don't remember where we once came from. We forget that we were once Gentiles living according to the flesh. We forget that we were once far off and far away from God. We forget that we were once alienated from the commonwealth of Christ. That we were over here and God was over here, and because of the blood of Christ, it has drawn us near. You know the reason I know that? It's because just like you, whenever I look at people and I look at this world and I see this sinful world, I mock and I smirk. And I have this attitude about people that don't know Jesus. As if people that don't know Jesus are supposed to act good and right and holy and whatever. But they're not. Instead of having compassion on folks who are lost and dying and separated from God, I have this kind of high attitude. Well, what about that person? Look at what she's doing. Look at what he's doing. Look at what they're doing. We have this attitude and we forget that we were once just like them.
That's right.
Separated from God and far from God. And we have to be reminded that God, because of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, we were made and brought near by the blood of Christ. And so here's the bottom line for us, you guys, as we close and in just a few moments, we're going to close and sing one more song. The reality is, I know that in a room this size, not every person in here knows Jesus. Maybe you've been coming here for a long time and you've been warming a seat, but you're in your heart, you are far from God. You find yourself in that place. You find yourself as an alien with no hope and without God. You put on a good front and you show up at church every Sunday, but you're far from God. Or maybe you're like me. Maybe you've been a believer in Christ since you were a child, since you were young enough to know what it meant to know Jesus. Maybe you're in that place. But here's the amazing thing about this is that Jesus speaks to all of us. He speaks to the lost and to the saved. He speaks to us in different ways. And for those of us that know Jesus, He's calling us and He's reminding us. He's saying, remember who you once were. And to those of us that don't know Jesus, He's saying, in Christ, I can bring you near. I can draw you near and make you one of my children. So the reality is, wherever you may be this morning, we have business to do with God. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to close us in prayer, and then we're going to sing. And whatever that looks like for you to respond in worship, maybe that's right there in your chair. Maybe that's coming down front and speaking with Pastor David. It doesn't matter what it is. You, as long as we're faithful to do what God has called us to do this morning. Amen? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for the reminder of who we once were.